Hey, everybody.
Welcome to the second episode of the season of Project Runway. I want to kick off just by saying that I don't think I was as articulate last week as I really wanted to be on the issue of one size does not fit all and having models ranging from 2 to 22. I do recognize that we're probably using like high fashion sizes, which means that someone that is probably a 22 at Kohl's or JCPenney's or Loft or the mall is not the same sizing as a high fashion haute couture sort of look. So that may be where they're getting their 22. I also think though, you know, I touched on Ashley Graham and I think she's great and I think she's really pushing boundaries. But what I really wanted to say with that is she's allowed to be large. She's allowed to have a larger body, but she's still very muscular. She's still very toned. She's not allowed to actually be fat, quote unquote, or plus size. And then the vernacular is not yet evolved enough to know what that actually means and looks like. So we are pushing boundaries. I do applaud that. I just think there's so much more to go. And so I wanted to clarify that. I didn't want anyone to be offended by what I said. I just don't think that we're really pushing the boundaries. So,
right. And we've had a discussion about this outside of the podcast, and it came down to that none of these women are fat.
Exactly.
There are some bigger women on here, but definitely nobody is even coming close to unhealthily so.
And I think there's still the issue that society is very uncomfortable with women's bodies that don't conform to some sort of standard. So we've just broadened our beauty standards a little bit, but we're still uncomfortable with bodies that don't look smooth and that have imperfections.
And I think that can definitely be shown. There's one model in particular, the one that Brandon had last week, and it's something that we'll get into a little bit later, but she has had a crop top in both episodes. And so you can see her stomach. And while it's prominent and it's there, it's not, there's not rolls or anything like
right.
that. So she is still, like you said, with Ashley Graham, toned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's not just bulging out.
Mm-hmm. There's that distinction of just having a very similar body to your standard, you know, straight size model that's just a little bit bigger. And I think that's what we're trying to reiterate here, that we're getting there. We're pushing some boundaries, but it's literally still the same body types. So that's
all. For the most part, yes.
Yeah, that's all. Also, what we didn't mention last week, the winner gets a lifetime supply of Pilot pins. So we're really just getting all kinds of crazy on these prizes.
Didn't they get a car last year?
Yeah.
And now they get pens.
They get pens. So we start out this episode. The designers get a cryptic message and a hard hat and an orange safety vest. And it turns out that they are taken to a recycling center for New York City.
Right. Which we knew from the previews last week. But, you know, you have to figure that the hard hat and vest should have given them the designers a clue that this is probably going to be an unconventional materials challenge.
Which are my least favorite challenges, and Heidi said that on the show that they're her favorite. And they're my least favorite because, I don't know, it's not very realistic, I guess.
I would say it's a good thing to throw in early.
Yeah.
Just because you then get a sense of what designers have that creative eye and can kind of think outside the box.
Mm-hmm. Tim told the designers that the challenge is to transform these recycled goods into high fashion looks. But he also says it's a team challenge and you have one day to complete it. So my two least favorite types of challenges, unconventional material and team challenges.
I did think the team challenge aspect of it was a little unnecessary at
very
this point.
Very contrived, and we all know why. It's because there's twins, and so we got to throw it in there. And you could definitely tell these teams were producer picked, Which, if you listen to last season, you know that annoys me. Just pick it randomly out of the button bag. There's going to be enough drama in just getting, you know, unconventional materials to become clothes. We don't need to manufacture it.
The designers get divided into three different teams. And so team one is Kadzani, Michael, Kentaro, Deontay, and Margarita.
Somehow Michael got chosen to be on the team of everyone with unique names.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of the which one of these is not like the other. Team two is Aaron, Botany, Brandon, Kenya, and Ayana, which leaves team three. And this is where it was obvious that things weren't exactly random here, because you end up with the twins, Claire and Sean, on the same team, along with Sentinel, Samantha.
Sentinel,
thank you. Samantha and Amy.
See, okay, you know what? I was in elementary school. We all were. Everyone had twins in their class. They always got separated, and there's a reason for that. So we know that this is a huge producer plant. And so it just drives me nuts, because it takes away from the integrity of the show and, you know, true designs, and we're getting into, again, the gimmicks of it all.
Right, and it's not like they can both win this show.
Yes.
At some point, they're going to have to go up against each other, so why not do it sooner than later?
Right. And the winning look gets a spread in Marie Claire. The teams are tasked with creating a five-look mini collection, but there will be one actual winner that gets the Marie Claire spread.
So, as we get back to the workroom, once all three teams have gathered their materials, we start to get an idea as to what these looks are going to look like. Team one says that they're going to have some Japanese influences throughout their collection. And I think they mean like modern Japanese fashion. So very poppy, very just kind of out there.
Yeah, I didn't really know what they meant. They said they wanted a lot of like pleats and hard shoulders. So to me, I didn't get Japanese out of that, but... Team 2 has decided that their theme is going to be balling on a budget. They're still unclear as to how that translates into their clothes, but they figure if they're making it out of recycled materials, that's a good fit.
Right. And then Team 3 decides they want something that's like cruise wear and very beachy.
And as we kick off the design process and picking through the different materials that the designers gathered, it's becoming very clear that the drama lies with Team 3. The twins, I got anxious. I could feel my chest tightening as I'm like listening to them and watching them run around. And Curtis is going to think this is the pot calling the kettle black, but I'm someone that can easily get overwhelmed looking at the big picture. And I've had to learn to divide things up into little pieces. So I see a lot of myself in these women, as much as that like pains me to say. And you could tell that they haven't fully managed their anxiety and perfectionism. Like they still are a couple of years of therapy away from that.
Sean, more so than Claire, just does not appear to work well with others.
Yeah.
You have everybody throwing out what they want to do and what they're good at and what they're going to do. And then Sean's just kind of like, I don't really know.
She says, I don't know, at least 20 times.
Right. And she just is not adaptable to the situation, because she just rattles off the fact that this is a unconventional materials challenge,
yes,
along with it being a team challenge. And this is her first time working with a plus size model, which we'll get back to that a little bit later on in the podcast.
So I made a note that all those think pieces about millennials and the teacup generation, Sean and Claire embody that millennial that those pieces are referring to. They are very much unadaptable. They are hard, stoic. Well, this is how it's always been. This is what we do. And they don't have the ability to be resilient. And unfortunately, they are the poster children for a generation, it seems like.
And it's only fitting that later on in the show, Sean wears a sweatshirt that says Millennial AF. And yeah. When I saw that, I was like, perfect. You really just put yourself in a box
right.
there.
Like, these girls could easily slide into an episode of Girls and just act as themselves.
Yeah.
Like, it's very painful to watch, really. And it doesn't get better throughout the workday.
Yeah. And it just, Sean especially, just wasn't doing anything. She was just constantly like
around.
Walking back and forth between her design and seeing what Claire was doing and then going back to her design and then just pouting about how she couldn't put anything together.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time we get to the Tim Gunn critique, she doesn't have anything.
She doesn't have anything. And I thought Amy as a professor may have stepped up, but I think she was also frustrated with them that they weren't bringing anything to the team. They were just literally two anchors on three other people that were trying to get something going.
Right. So Team Tsunami, which is what Team 3 ended up naming themselves, is the first up in the Tim Gunn critique.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things that he says, which is something that tends to happen in a lot of these team competitions, is that the materials don't make cohesion.
Yeah.
Just because everybody has leather in their design doesn't make that a cohesive collection. The things have to go together. And the one phrase that comes up very often in these is, would all of these outfits come out of the same closet?
Mm-hmm. Which is a good way to think about cohesion. Because when I first started watching Project Runway, I totally was like, well, that's the same color. That's the same fabric. But it very much is this the same woman wearing each of these five looks?
Right. So we find out, and it's not really much of a surprise, that the twins have kind of done their own thing outside of the other three people in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of takes the rest of the team to come in to save them, because what we see happen is Samantha is making this braided top. And so she says, I will put some of that here. And then Sentinel says, okay, I can take some of my material and add that in here to make it start to look like these things all came from the same team.
And Samantha also says she'll take some of the fabric that Claire was just painting and make that the skirt of her dress. So they are trying here with different people. This could have gone way worse from a team perspective.
Right.
Team 1 has rebranded themselves as Team Wabi Sabi. Kentaro didn't really have an exact translation for us, so I'm still fuzzy on what that actually means. And Tim says he's not getting any cohesion from them either, that it's just the same materials that they're using. And they were using a lot of just clear plastics and like those plastic bottle rings, like cans of sodas come in.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't, they were all different looks. They hadn't really thought about an actual like cohesiveness, but they were working well together.
I agree. I think that they were kind of going in different directions as to what Japanese fashion is,
mm-hmm.
because you had Margarita take like this foil pan and like put it on a shoulder and like, oh, that's like samurai. And he's like, well, that's not really what people are going for here. This was more modern Japanese fashion, as I said earlier. And then finally, and Team Ballin' on a Budget, Tim, again, doesn't really see much cohesion here.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells them to control the materials and don't let the materials control you. So he clearly thinks that the designers aren't really doing enough with the materials mm-hmm. that they have.
Especially because the challenge is to elevate these materials to be high fashion. And he's generally worried, I think, about all the teams. Especially with one day, this is totally a hard challenge. But it's not really reading to him yet. For the model fittings, a lot of people don't have garments to put on or try and fit. And we get back into that model mirror thing, and I think this is pointless. I'm still not sure why I'm supposed to care what the model thinks about the garment. And I thought more about that because I know that we have models of all sizes and we should give a voice to the previously oppressed, or still oppressed, really. But they're not talking about that. They're not talking about, you know, how the clothes fit them or what they're, you know, looking for in clothes. It's really like, well, I didn't have anything to try on. And so it just feels like extra unnecessary commentary. I don't know.
I mean, I don't mind the model mirrors quite as much as you do. But yes, I agree. In this episode specifically, there wasn't a ton of insight with what these models were saying this time.
And it's not like these aren't their customers. These are just assigned models. Like, this is their job. They don't get to, you know, take these clothes home with them. It's not their clothes. That's why I'm still a little on the fence as to, well, we're kind of veering off into customer territory here. But irregardless, we'll see if they continue doing it. With day two, you know, as we're getting ready for the runway show, it still seems like, and I know this is fancy editing, it still seems like Sean and Claire don't actually have an outfit, and that the rest of the team is really having to kind of scramble to help them out.
And I noticed that kind of just in the interim before getting into the studio, there wasn't a ton of competence overall.
No.
Like, usually when they talk to people, you know, oh yeah, I feel really good about my look, mm-hmm. and I have some work to do, but overall I think I'll be able to finish everything up. Just about everybody that they showed was like, I don't think my look is all that strong.
Yeah, people weren't very confident going into the day, I think. So we get to the runway show. Heidi reminds us that Deontay has immunity. The guest judges are Ann Follenweider, who's the editor-in-chief of Marie Claire, and actress Maggie Q, that I had never heard of. I feel like I'm out of touch.
She was in Balls of Fury, which was fantastic.
I have not ever seen
it. It's the ping pong movie. Christopher Walken.
Oh, yeah, okay. I still haven't seen it, but I know what it is at least.
Really dumb premise, but there are some very funny parts
of it. I feel like
it.
I wouldn't like it.
I'm sure you wouldn't.
That's really mean.
So, Team Wabi Sabi is the first team down the runway. Margarita leads off. She has an outfit that has a kimono top looks like it's one piece and it's connected to a pair of shorts. And on the overlaying those shorts is those plastic soda can rings. I thought it was an odd combination, first of all. The top looks really, really weird. I think it's made out of vinyl, I imagine, and then she kind of painted over it. And so it looks almost like it's, A, painted on the model, and B, almost like cartoonish.
Yeah, it really does.
It looks animated. And so I think that just has something to do with the finish, and it just didn't really resonate very well with me. And this is going to be a theme in Team Wabi Sabi's looks, is that they pretty much all use those plastic soda can rings.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you like layer them or something, it's very, very, very obvious what those are.
Oh, yeah. It's not well.
And it looks like it's trash.
It's not well hidden at all.
So that was one thing I really did not like about this look in particular.
Yeah, and so the shorts, like if this is a romper, if it's all one piece, the shorts are pretty long. And then there's this wide red waistband. And so it reads like a camp outfit because it's like a khaki color of the shorts. Or I kept thinking of that American Girl doll, Molly. She goes to summer camp and has like an outfit that very much looks like this. And it doesn't really feel high fashion or that she really elevated those materials. I like the shoes most of anything of this outfit. We see Kentaro's look next. And he's created a very simple dress. It's a sweetheart neckline, strapless. Kind of an A-line, and he's kind of pleated, I think it's newspaper that they painted over, and he's pleated it at the bottom, and he has the soda can rings supposed to be making, I think, kind of almost like the cold shoulder look, except there's something over it. It's just kind of like something over her arms going over the bust of the dress, and he also has sort of a wide waistband, but it's I think just painted a different color. Maybe it's cardboard. But this design, I mean, it's pretty and it's well made, but it's really nothing new. It's not high fashion. You still see the soda rings. Nothing's really elevating for me.
I agree. I think that the soda rings are supposed to be a substitute for lace.
Yes, okay.
In these, yeah. I think it was Michael kind of mentioned that when they were in the workroom. I agree with you. I think it does look really, really well made. But yeah, I'm not really sure how I feel about the shininess mm-hmm. of it. But yeah, there's just not a ton to this.
No.
Deontay's look is next. And I really don't know how to describe this.
It's kimono inspired.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, we'll call it a kimono. I don't think it wraps at all.
It doesn't.
It's just
has wide sleeves.
Sure, and then the neckline is mm-hmm. is like a kimono,
it's like a
V-neck as well
with an empire wing.
But it is just deconstructed all over the place. I think he just took like a razor blade and just
what is that material?
Cut. It's vinyl.
Oh, okay, okay.
And just cut. Like, made cuts all over this.
Yeah, he does have openings. So if you're thinking about it from an empire waist, so from the top of that waist up, then down the sleeves, he's made these very deep cuts as to these openings, and he's got like a red top underneath, and then it's kind of a long knee-length skirt of the dress, but there's the cuts on the side. So go ahead and keep.
I just didn't think there was a ton of design to this. It's just too much deconstruction for me.
Yeah.
I wasn't that thrilled with it.
I thought it was a very cool look. To me, this is the best look from this team, but I said there's too many cuts on the sleeves. If it was just over the bodice or just on the skirt, I think that would have been better. And it's not very cohesive with the first two looks. That doesn't look like the same woman's wearing Kentaro's little sweet, strapless dress that's going to wear this vinyl kimono.
Mm-hmm.
Kidzani's look is next, and it's interesting. So it's the jumpsuit made out of the same vinyl and with the same cuts as Deontay's. So I see their cohesion there, but the problem is he has this really cool jumpsuit, and he put on a plastic cape, and I can't tell if it's supposed to be a kimono look, because it's just clear plastic, and as sort of trim, he put the soda rings, down the front, but this just screams plastic. There's nothing about this that wouldn't tell you this isn't plastic, and the jumpsuit is well made, and it's cool. Again, a little too many cuts in the vinyl, probably, over the knees and kind of down the legs, but it would have been a much better look without that plastic.
I really liked this.
Yeah? Even the plastic.
Mm-hmm. Even the overcoat thing, which generally, especially plastic, clear plastic overcoats, many people have done that in past seasons.
Yeah.
And I hate them because they're kind of pointless.
Right.
But I think this fit in with modern Japanese fashion. The soda can rings are actually used functionally here.
Yeah,
because
it doesn't look like
it's as design instead of just being there.
Yeah.
And then he, I don't know if it was the lighting or what he did differently with this vinyl, but this looks like leather, whereas everybody else,
yeah,
it didn't look that good.
Especially the top looks like leather. I mean, man, if that overcoat or the kimono thing was in a different material, then maybe, because that jumpsuit is cool, except for, like I said, a little too many cuts on the legs.
Exactly. I agree with that part. But I thought that this was the best look from Team Wabi Sabi.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we have Michael. This is a little bit better use of the plastic soda can holders.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did some layering with it to where it, again, it's not quite as obvious that that's what those are. Overall, though, there's not much design to it. Basically, what you have is what might be a halter top skirt.
Dress, yeah.
And overlaying that is this layered soda can, plastic soda can holders. And then you have just these
paper shreds.
Paper shreds coming out of the bust area up towards the neck. I didn't think those were really,
yeah,
they didn't really look that good.
I feel like you would just go and just pick them off, sort of thing. And it, I mean, there's nothing pushing boundaries about this design or any really, it just feels very safe. Nothing very wow about it.
For sure.
Team Tsunami presents next. The first look they send down is Centel, and it's unfortunate. So they've used plastic bags. He has an asymmetrical halter top, so instead of coming around the neck, it just comes from one shoulder. And he's kind of created a belt, and it's this green color, but the bottom looks so unfinished. It literally looks just like plastic bags that he wrapped around her. And I can't tell on her right hip what there's like this extra volume, if it's just more green plastic bags, but it's kind of a mess. The top is nice and looks like it could have been something, but the bottom is just so unfinished, and it's not high fashion at all. Even if it all was finished, it wouldn't be high fashion.
Yeah, I agree that the top looked really good, you know, fashionable, and then once you get to the bottom, not great. I think because it's kind of see-through, you can see pretty much all the way up the models, because it's asymmetrical on the bottom as well, and all the way up the model's left thigh. If he had put something underneath that, that would have looked a little bit better, because at least you're not getting the clearness of the skirt, and then you can't just straight up go, oh, yep, plastic back.
For sure.
Like, at least there wouldn't have been that transparency of it.
Yeah, it's just a really unfortunate look.
For sure. Samantha's look is next, and she used probably the same material that Centel made his entire dress out of to make a braided halter top that is split down the middle, and she included a belt that looks to be made out of plastic soda can holders. And then she has a skirt that I think is probably the vinyl with newspaper clippings over it and then painted over just to kind of give it like a sheen finish.
Mm-hmm, it's like a silver.
Right. I think the top looks great.
Mm-hmm.
The soda can holders in this situation look better than anything that Team Wabi Sabi did.
Yeah.
I think part of it has to do with the fact that these are colored.
Mm-hmm.
And then they used them functionally in this. So Samantha has used this to make a belt. However, the skirt looks super 80s, and it looks like white denim, which is not beachy at all.
I didn't get that. I thought this was the most representative look of their sort of resort sea glass sort of theme. And I think it's high fashion. It doesn't read white denim to me. It just reads like a metallic silver, and like metallics are kind of in.
Not like white, but like stonewashed, bleached white denim.
Yeah, I'm still not getting that. I think there's enough shine to it that doesn't make the denim, but I can see. I can see where you're coming from. I think it's really well made and the fit is really good. There's definitely no cohesion from, you know, just having the same plastic bags doesn't make it cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's done really well with what she had. So Amy's look is next, and it's interesting. It is a light purple cape made out of, I think it's vinyl, right?
Yeah.
That cape. It kind of looks like it could be leather. It's like a capelet, so it only comes to her waist, or maybe about her hip, and it's about 3/4 length sleeve. And she's got some pink, I'm not sure if it's like a disc or a plastic, over the shoulders. So the colors are a little limited too, maybe. And then she's made a mini skirt out of these multicolored plastic discs. And I think it's really unique. It's very well made. I wouldn't wear it, but someone out there definitely would. I think she elevated the materials. To me, it doesn't really read to be garbage. And it still kind of fits in that resort theme. So I feel like Amy and Samantha got it. What do you think?
I think I'm kind of in the same boat as you. It's definitely interesting. I just don't know what to do with it, I guess. The top does look cool. But again, they're going for like this leather look. And leather isn't beachy to me either.
Right. It's not. And that's true. Like, this does read a little dated.
And then that skirt, again, I'm just kind of on the fence about it. It adds texture to the entire look for sure, but they look like gigantic sequins.
Yeah.
And that seemed kind of tacky to me.
Yeah, like it, this could definitely be like kind of out of an 80s movie and maybe no one really bat an eye about it. There's something that's intriguing. Is it always a good intriguing? I'm not so sure.
Right. We get Sean's look next, and I really want to hate it. I do.
I'm right there with you.
I don't, though. I do like the design. I'm not sure how I feel about all the materials. Why don't you describe it, and then I'll continue my commentary.
Okay, so we have, it's a halter dress. It's more ready wear than high fashion, in my opinion. We have that same light purple vinyl that's creating the halter, and that goes even down the waist. And then we have some color blocking with different materials getting into the skirt. So they used the same silver fabric that Claire had painted that Samantha used. They use that as side paneling. And then I think it's just a clear plastic that's creating maybe a 3-inch hem all the way around. And then she has a belt around the waist with blue discs that are similar to what Amy's skirt was. And then just like light green rope, I think.
It's that braiding that.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I didn't catch that.
That Samantha did.
Yeah, they tried to connect the braiding. I don't know if that's enough.
Yeah. So I do like the design of it. I liked the color blocking. I like how the shape of the dress in general, but I don't think it goes well with the materials that they have. The top looks kind of bulky.
Yeah.
And when the model first came out and you get just a quick shot of her, I'd be like, ooh, she looks a little frumpy.
Mm-hmm.
But as I got a better look at it, I don't mind this look.
There's something about the very top, like the, you know, right over the boobs, I don't think that fits super well. So it could be that. It's just it's the lay of that vinyl. Like I said, I think this is more ready wear than high fashion. It fits well, but it is very simple. Like outside of that top, over that top portion. But otherwise, I mean, it fits fine. It's just not very wow. Last is Claire's look. And she's created a two-piece. She's got a crop top. And it's in that shiny silver, you know, fabric with the paper over the vinyl. There's some volume on the left side. I guess that seems to be her thing. It reminds me of last week's dress where there was more volume on the left side.
That's exactly what I said, too. I like the skirt, but it's too much like last week.
And it's probably knee length. I mean, there's nothing high fashion about it. And then she used the soda can rings to create this sort of like bib maybe over the top. And so you can see it onto her shoulders, the soda can rings. And it really does, it like if you don't do more with those, it just is a soda can ring. And so it's just kind of blah.
Yeah, I didn't think there was a ton to this. The crop top that she made for this kind of looks like plate armor from afar. And I didn't think that it fit all that well either.
It was a little off, that fit.
And then, like I mentioned, the skirt looks good, but it's a little too much of what we saw last week.
Yeah, it makes me think that this is the only type of skirt that she can really create.
So we have another Erin from last season where she made gigantic coats.
And that was
her thing.
With like colostomy with bag pockets.
Huge pockets.
Yeah.
But she won last year, so who knows.
If Claire wins.
So we get to team balling on a budget now.
Mm-hmm.
First down the runway is Botany, and Botany has created this A-line dress that is just color blocked vertically. Down the middle is orange, just to the side of that is brown, and then on her sides and down her hips to the bottom of the dress is this white and orange checked pattern that Brandon created for this, their entire look. And this is probably a personal thing, but these are the Cleveland Browns colors. And I couldn't get past that.
Really?
From then on. Couldn't get past
that
it.
That is hilarious.
And the Cleveland Browns are like the epitome of failure in professional sports. And so I think that really just
kind of
put me off for this entire look. I mean, don't get me wrong. It looks pretty good.
It's beautiful.
I think the fit is kind of weird, and I think that just has to do with the materials.
Yeah.
They don't really lay how they're supposed to.
Yeah.
And then, in addition to that, she has, I'm pretty sure this is just a neck piece that has this long fringe going down the front.
Yeah.
And it's kind of similar to what she was wearing last week. And Zach said he really liked that. And so it's almost like she took that a little too to heart.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm going to put that in my outfit this time.
I think this is so beautiful. You couldn't even tell. I mean, you would think this was fabric. There's a lot going on, but it's very, there's design to it that we didn't get in some of the other dresses that we've seen so far. I love all the different patterns and colors together. I didn't think Cleveland Browns personally. That's so funny. That's what you can't get past. I mean, the collar seemed a little too much like a dog collar. But it is very cool. It looks like leather.
Yeah, you get a shot right before the model leaves the runway that shows the stitching in it, and it definitely looks exactly like leather, and it's that vinyl material that pretty much everybody used this challenge.
The next look comes from Erin, and he's created a tube top, crop top, and shorts. The crop top has sort of fringe on it from paper and aluminum, so it's got kind of two layers of fringe. It's kind of a cool effect. And the shorts are high-waisted, kind of has a pleated top, and it's that same checked pattern that Brandon created. I have a little bit of an issue with the fit of the shorts. They're very mom shorts. Like, They're long, they're kind of blousy on the sides. Like, the fit is not great. It adds volume to her hips. Otherwise, maybe if they were a touch shorter, they could have still had the volume. But there's, yeah, something about it. But otherwise, this is a really cool look. It doesn't look like recycled materials at all. And it outside of the shorts, it seems well made.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the shorts looked a little frumpy.
Yeah.
But to me, everything just kind of blended in this outfit. Because it really is, save from... the shorts, because that checked pattern is see-through. It's just a clear plastic that they did this on rather than the orange and white. Everything's just white and just kind of blends together. And I didn't really dig the fringe on top. I think that could have just been layered and it would have looked a little bit better. But overall, I wasn't a huge fan of this.
Okay.
Up next is Kenya. And she made this baby doll dress out of newspaper clippings, and then she painted over it to give it a little sheen. It's well made, but it is way too Alice in Wonderland, Snow White, Disney princess, insert nursery rhyme character here. It looks good it looks great for that, but it is that.
It's because she has these huge puff sleeves.
Yeah.
And she's got a keyhole top, but there's a tie. So it looks like it just looks very fairy tale. Very well made, and it's whimsical and everything, but I just couldn't get past the puff sleeves.
And this model is probably going to be the best model to have in the entire season because she is very curvy, but it is that hourglass shape. She has a very, very small waist, but she is
very tall.
She's very tall, has a larger bust and larger thighs and butt. Mm-hmm. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if whoever gets this model wins every week, because Deontay had her last week
and he won.
And he won.
Yeah, there's something about her figure that, so if you're designing for a size 2, most likely they don't have anything. They're just a straight box, essentially. They don't have boobs, but nothing. But she's giving you a shape already. You just need to get out of the way and accentuate that a little bit.
Right.
The next look is Brandon's, and he has created another crop top and long, wide leg pants in this pattern that he created. So is that orange vinyl?
Yeah.
So it's orange vinyl that he took a paintbrush and made these square brush strokes to create this sort of checked pattern. And the crop top has sort of a high neck, but it's well made. To me, the pants, because it's a drawstring and there's a bow, it reads a little pajama pants to me.
I can see that.
But it's cool. I think you just need more accessories to take it out of pajama pants. Like, the sunglasses weren't enough.
Sure. And now that you're saying that, this was just too much checkered pattern for my taste.
Maybe if you had a different top or something.
And then, so I think with some accessories, you kind of take away from just focusing on that. I didn't think the pants looked like they fit right.
Yeah.
They kind of moved weird. And again, I think that probably just has to do with the material we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no flow. They're just stiff, like, on her body.
Yeah. Finally, we have Ayana. Ayana is sticking with her design aesthetic of modest but fashionable. Her model is pretty much covered from the neck down. I guess it's one piece. It looks like it's two, though. It's a silver underlay. And then on top of that is the brown vinyl with some orange accents, and the brown vinyl is just stripped.
It's just a like fringe.
Just a very, very long fringe. It's essentially the only part of it that is solid is around the waist. This is just a little too bohemian for me. It looks like she's just kind of wrapped in foil and then has this coat underneath on top of that. And this, she has this shiny triangle kind of right in the middle. And that just, anytime somebody does that, it's too like futuristic princess for me.
I thought the whole thing was very Native American princessy with the fringe, and it's long, and the fringe covers her arms. To me, there didn't seem to be much of a design element, and I think I'm going to feel that way a lot because it's usually just a long A-line dress or a long sheath dress.
Mm-hmm.
And just mixing up the fabric or mixing up accents on top of it, I just don't know if that's going to do it for me. And I understand her aesthetic, where she's coming from. But I also didn't get the cohesion necessarily with this look and the rest of the collection as much. It didn't seem like the same woman was going to wear Brandon's look that would wear this look.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all.
So I was a little confused on that. So who do you have as your winning and losing teams?
I thought that Team Tsunami was going to win, with Samantha having the best look in that team. I thought that Team Ballin' on a Budget was going to lose, and Aaron's look was going to be the worst in that.
Oh, dang. I thought the losing team would be Wabi Sabi, and that Kadzani would be out, and the winner would be Ballin' on a Budget with Batani as the winner.
So I'm really good at this game. Because the winners were Team Ballin' on a Budget, and the losers were Team Tsunami.
So a little different.
I had a 1 in 3 chance of getting at least one of those right, and I missed on both of them. So,
well, that's okay. We won't have you buy any lottery tickets.
It will be no surprise that my department got lottery tickets the other night, and we got 69 of them.
Nice!
And we won $16 off of it.
Oh, God. So, when we get to the judging, they talk with Team Ballin' on a Budget first, and Heidi says she's just blown away. They feel like it's a very imaginative collection. They really transform the materials, which I definitely agree. I mean, if you saw these, you wouldn't instantly think that they were an unconventional or recycled materials.
I think part of that just has to do with they stayed away from kind of the gimmicky stuff of it.
Right, like just soda can rings.
Yeah, they just did what they could with that vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And went
vinyl
from there.
Is as close to fabric as you're probably going to get out of those recycled materials. Yeah. You know? There wasn't really a ton of, you know, the judges didn't have a ton of very specific things to say, I don't think.
No.
And they asked who they thought should win. And I just didn't feel like people properly answered that question. Usually someone's like, well, you know, this person really led the team with their design aesthetic or kept us on point. And really it was just like very complimentary, like, oh, you just said mine was nice, I'm going to say yours is nice, right, and you should win. So I don't think they really, I feel like they just worked well together. You know, Brandon kind of started making that print, and not that they had the best critique, they really had to start over in some sense and like really think about what they're going to do.
Right.
So I think that was their rallying point.
Right. So then we get to talk to Team Tsunami.
Ugh.
And it's just kind of the opposite of what we saw with Ballin' on a Budget. The judges say that there really was no transformation of the materials in their looks.
They definitely called out Sentel's design as just plastic bags being unfinished, not fashionable. Heidi says it's just most pieces just still have pieces of garbage on them. But they really like Samantha's top. Sean kind of offers herself up as acknowledging her troubles with this. And she said, you know, she's never designed for a curvy woman before. And Maggie Q and Ann Fullenweidner kind of, you know, whispered to each other at first, like...
They say what we were all were, oh, what we all were thinking at sure. that point.
This woman is not curvy. And I'm not... Again, we talked about the vernacular. Here's the thing. She's probably in straight sizes if we were just going to the mall. She's probably an 8. I don't know what that is in high fashion sizes.
She's the most normal of all the models that are in this show this season.
She's not rail thin, but she just has a body. I mean, it's so hard to talk about because she literally is just a woman with a body.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Like I said, you know, we're going to go shop at Loft, but she's probably looking at a size 8. And so it's very frustrating. I think, you know, first Maggie and Anne whispered, like, she's normal. Like, and really, she didn't have, like, curvy hips or, you know, big boobs. There wouldn't. And we say curvy as kind of the nicer way of saying, like, bigger. And so it is tough. I want to be respectful to that. And some people embrace it and some people don't. And I think you can always be chasing a size and never really be truly satisfied. But I'm just using the words that Sean used.
And so as the judges continue talking to Team Tsunami, the gloves start to come off a little bit.
Yeah.
Drama!
And it's really basically between Sental and Sean. Sean kind of confesses that her time management wasn't the greatest in this challenge and that she put together her look. And Heidi compliments Sean and says that she likes the top. And Sental jumps in and says, I actually sewed that.
Yeah. And then, you know, Sean's like, well, I painted that skirt. You know, everyone wants to make sure they're getting credit. And so there's kind of this back and forth with Sental and Sean. And Sean, again, speaks to the fact of, you know, I just had trouble creating for this curvy woman. And so finally, Anne's like, no, I don't know who you think you're designing for, but this, you know, who are you normally designing for? And she's like, well, I design for pop stars, singers, celebrities. And Nina's like, you need to live in the real world. This woman, I mean, you could get assigned a model that is bigger than this woman, you know, has a larger body. So you're going to have to get over this.
Right. And I mean, they said in the first episode that they designed an outfit for Katy Perry. Katy Perry can't be much smaller than this model.
Yeah. And that's what I want to, you know, people will design anything. You know, somehow Mariah Carey still gets dressed. Somehow these celebrities that are not, you know, rail thin still get dressed. And people are falling over themselves to do it. But if it's a non-famous woman that, you know, happens to be more than a size 4, it's an imposition on certain designers. And Sean's kind of the first one this season to really throw the fit about it and seem to have this just block in doing the challenge. I mean, she turned out a dress that was fine. But I don't think it's going to get any easier from here on out. And then Claire tried to speak up for Sean on the runway, and they're using their pretentious, you know, pronunciation and, you know,
I think she was afraid.
And it's like, no. And you could tell the other three were like, yeah, we've been doing this all day. We're tired of
right.
this. Because, you know, Sean called out Amy for not really fitting into the aesthetic. And Amy, Samantha, and Sental said that Sean should go. You know, she's the one that should go home. She's the one that was the hardest to manage on the team, where everyone else had to literally leave what they were doing and pick her up. And then Claire said Sental should go.
Did Sean offer herself up at first?
No. Kind of? No, she's saying...
Half-heartedly.
She's saying, well, if we're talking about time management, it was me. But if we're talking about true design, it'd be Amy.
Right.
And I think Amy had one of the better designs. I'm surprised she wouldn't say Sentinel.
Right. So the winner, obviously, is going to come from Team Ballin' on a Budget. And it is decided that Ayana is going to be the winner.
I'm still a little confused by that choice. So, I thought Batani's was better.
Again, we don't really know much of what we're talking about. And so the person that is going home comes down to Sentinel and Sean. And in the end, Sentinel is the one getting sent home.
Yeah, I just... So Heidi really did hate his dress. I don't know how much producer influence, you know, we get here, because if we lose a twin, we lose their favorite storyline.
Right.
A little bit.
It's a little early for that.
It's a little... I mean, we're still holding on to some dead weight. Not dead weight. They're all talented, but we're still holding on to people that aren't going to succeed past the point of 10 designers, let's say. So there's still time yet to get kicked off. But if we have more team challenges and those two are on the same team, then we really know, like I said, this show doesn't take itself seriously anymore. Then we know we're just in it for the gimmicks. And if Sean continues to be on the bottom and they flash to Claire's cry face every time she walks in... Again, this is not their show. We really, I just want them to focus on the fashion and the true challenges of it instead of kind of the drama. And that's always the tension, I think, of the show and the producers.
Right. I honestly think this could have been a coin flip. Yeah. I think had the judges been able to see what we saw, maybe Sean goes home.
Yeah.
Just because you can see she's probably not cut out for this, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But she probably did have the better outfit between her and Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
So we lose Sentinel. Honestly, I don't think we're losing much. I really did not like his outfit last week.
Yeah.
And this week's wasn't a ton better.
Right. No, that's true. So what's your power rankings?
My number 5 is Kidzani. I really did like what he did this week, and last week was just kind of neutral on what he did. So here he is at 5.
I have Margarita as 5. I didn't love what she did this past week, but I still think, you know, she's going to really shine. I remember what she did, you know, the previous episode. So we just need her chance to break through.
Sure.
My number 4 is Ayana, honestly, because I couldn't really pick anybody.
I had trouble with mine as well.
And she just won, and she seems to sew well. I'm just curious if she can do more than just one silhouette.
Sure. My 4 is Amy.
Okay. I think she's one to watch.
I think so, too. I think that's pretty much why I have her here. Her 2 outfits that she has done so far haven't been all that spectacular, but they've been
unique.
More unique and kind of more advanced than what anybody else has put out so
far. They're very well made. You can tell she knows what she's doing.
Right. I mean, she teaches she teaches this for a living.
Right.
So you have to figure she does know what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
My number 3 is Kentaro. Again, didn't really hate what he did this week. But I do think he is going to, he does seem like somebody that has a lot of design ideas.
My number 3 is Brandon. I think a lot of last week might have been for show. I think he can, I mean, granted, he has done 2 crop tops. We'll see what the third outfit brings. But I think he knows more than the producers were letting on last week. You know, even if he hasn't done a ton of women's wear. My number 2 is Kenya. She makes really cool, very well-tailored and well-made dresses. So I am just excited for what else she's going to bring to the table, especially as she can really test kind of the bounds of creativity.
She is my number 2 as well.
Thanks.
I get a little, I mean, in a sense, I get a little bit of a Laurence vibe from her. Laurence kind of blended in those first couple weeks last season. And then as people started to get eliminated, her stuff is forced to be pushed into the forefront, mm-hmm. and you're like, wow, she makes really, really, really good clothes. Yeah, like everything is really, really well made, impeccably. So like there is not a flaw with what she makes. And I think that's where I'm at with Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that she has made so far has really jumped out at me, but everything that she has made has been very, very well made.
Yes. Which, speaking of Laurence, by the way, you can purchase that Bentley leather quilted top dress on her website. It's $1,700, but it seems well worth it.
So that guy that won the Powerball last night, if you're looking for
right.
a dress purchase.
He'd like to sponsor my dress.
There you go.
That could be my wedding dress.
It could be. Except it was black.
Oops. It doesn't matter.
Okay. I think we both have the same number one, Deontay.
Yes. I think he's killing it so far.
He was farther ahead last week than he was you this week. I wasn't a gigantic fan
of
what he made this week, but I do think he is still probably the best designer so far.
He reminds me of, and I can see his face, so I'm blanking on his name. I think it was like season 4 or something. There was this guy who just made really cool, well-made, well-tailored clothes and was really good at styling. And I will think of his name, and Deontay reminds me of him. Like, I kind of get those vibes. So another one where I'm like, he could just really wow us. So I'm hoping he gets the chance to do so before there's a slip up, I guess.
Yeah.
So it looks like next week we have a challenge inspired by dance and movement and ballerina. So I'm excited for that. Hopefully it's not a team challenge. And hopefully the twins get an online therapist to help them through their anxiety.
I'm going to go bold prediction. I think Margarita wins next week.
Okay.
What
makes you say that?
Her design aesthetic just seems like it's very colorful, very flowy, which... that's what you want kind of in a dance thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Work on your pronunciations.
Yes.
Indeed.
So that is our show for this week. We will see you next week.
See ya.
Auf Wiedersehen.